Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
Good to see you all. I want to share a Bible verse here with you this morning. And a theme you're going to see here with these testimonies is God is faithful. God is faithful. And you're also going to see some folks up here that have been involved in Southside for a long time. And this week I did a funeral for a longtime member, Bishop Bell, 99 years old, World War II veteran, served in many capacities here at the church throughout his years. And I tell you, what was a theme in that man's life was his service to his country, a service to his family, and a service to his church and his God. And God, I believe God wants that out of our lives. And so I'm just reminded of this as we are having Testimony Sunday. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, "So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this, not because we deserve it, but because that was the plan from the beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus." And so the sweet folks that will be giving testimonies this morning, they're up here by the grace of God, not by their own righteousness, but by the grace of God and of what he has done through them and for them. Well, the first person I want to introduce to you is involved as a chairman of our deacons. He serves as a moderator for our business meetings, which that alone will get you a crown in heaven, I believe. And he's also a connection group teacher, and he's really a friend of mine. I appreciate him and his family. But Mr. Joe Poston, let's give him a hand as he comes up.
Thank you, Lucas. You know, I serve an amazing God, and I want you to know that right up front. I remember a couple of Sundays back, as Lucas was talking about people that would give, he said, "We're going to have Testimony Sunday." And I was sitting right there on the third row back, and the thought came to me, said, "Why don't you do your testimony?" Well, then the second thought came to me, said, "Nobody wants to hear the testimony of a 75-year-old man, so forget it." Well, I sat there a few more minutes, and the thought came back to me. And again, I denied it. I said, "Nobody wants to hear my testimony." Well, it came back a third time. And at that time, I bowed my head, and I said, "Lord, if you want me to give my testimony, you have Lucas ask me, because I'm not going to volunteer." Well, I got up to go to our connection group when the service ended and walked right by here. And Lucas walked right down there and he shook my hand and he said, "Joe, would you do your testimony?" So I think God is leading me to do this morning. So here it goes, okay? But I wanted to start by telling you, I accepted Christ when I was about 9 years old, grew up in a Christian home. And then, of course, over the next few years, me and some teenage friends of mine, we didn't always do the best things that we could have done. But then at age 14, we rededicated our lives. And there were a group of us in our community. We felt that God was leading us to do something more than we were doing. So we decided to have a prayer meeting in the old tobacco pack house. Now, a lot of you in here probably don't understand what an old tobacco pack house is, but that's where you stored your dried tobacco and, of course, waiting on market. And it would smell like dried tobacco and whatnot and be dusty and whatnot. But we got together and decided to have this prayer meeting. Little did we know, my mother got a hold to it, and by the time we met that night, the entire community turned out for that prayer meeting in that old pack house. Well, from that meeting, a man was saved that night in that old pack house, and from that meeting, the idea of Mill Branch Free Will Baptist Church in our community was talked about. So a couple of years later, Mill Branch Baptist Church was dedicated on March 10, 1963. I was lucky enough at that time to ask a young lady, a beautiful young lady that I knew in high school, to go to church with me for that dedication. She did, and later we married. And this year, later this year, we will celebrate 55 years together. And throughout that time, God has so incredibly blessed us. It's just unbelievable how He has blessed us. He has given us three wonderful children, three wonderful grandchildren, a wonderful daughter-in-law, and a wonderful son-in-law. But you know, as I look at what God has done over the years, of course, I went to Vietnam in 1969, and I remember when I came back from Vietnam, my wife and I talked about our children, because at that time, Joey was 19 months old, and we needed to get involved in a church where we could serve God. She was raised as a Methodist. I was raised as a Free Will Baptist, so we settled on the Southern Baptist to raise our kids. Since Vietnam, we have lived in Augusta, Georgia, Spartanburg, South Carolina, Shelby, North Carolina, Toccoa, Georgia, Travelers Rest, South Carolina, and finally to Florence, South Carolina. And everywhere we have been, God has led us to a local church where we could plug in and serve Him. My wife and I both have served in many capacities in those churches over the years. I have taught Sunday school since I was 14 years old. And in those churches that we served, I've taught Sunday school, I've been a choir member, I've been a deacon, I've served on three pastor search committees in two states. And so when I look at all that, I don't want you to leave here this morning thinking this is about me. It's not about me. It's about what God can do through you when you are willing to work with Him and let Him work in you. And He has used us everywhere we have been in His work. In 1982, my job was not going well. And I remember very specifically one day I left the plant and I told God, I said, God, You have to get me out of this mess. A few weeks later, I was laid off. Now, I wouldn't have worked it out the way God did. But God's plan is perfect, because had it not been for that, we would have never moved back to Florence, South Carolina. We had no intention of coming here. I grew up down near Pamplico. She did too. But we had no intention of moving back to Florence. But God led us back to Florence. He opened a job for me in here in Florence. And we joined this church in 1984. I have seen God do some amazing things in this church. I told Lucas when he first got here, I think most of you know at that time, we were going through some issues here in the church. And I told Lucas when he first got here, I said, look, I've seen God do amazing things in this church. And I said, He's not through with us yet, and I can't wait to see what He's going to do. And I still believe that. My favorite verse in the Bible is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, but trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. That has been my roadmap, and that will continue to be my roadmap as I go forward. I've seen God do some amazing things in my life. He's carried me through the good and the bad, and the happy and the sad. You know, He carried me through Vietnam. I came home without any injuries, as a lot of people did not. He carried me through the loss of my parents, through the loss of my sister. Well, I fell from a ladder in 2012, broke both wrists at the same time. He carried me through that. And most recently through prostate cancer. So God has been with me in the good and bad and the happy and sad. He's with me all the time. And as I end this morning, I want to say one thing. And I know most of you in this room won't know who I'm referring to. But Vestal Goodman was a well-known Southern gospel singer. And she recorded a song that said, "I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now." And as I close, I want you to know I wouldn't take nothing for my journey. God is amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Joe. Next is Miss Jackie Henson, and she is part of our wonderful women's ministry here at Southside. And so ask her to come up, give her testimony, and also, you know, focus on the women's ministry and talk about that a little bit more. And so, Miss Jackie, give her a hand as she comes up.
Morning. I told my husband Jeff a few minutes ago, there's a lot more people in here now than there were in the first service. I just wanted to share a little bit about myself before I talk about our recent women's Bible study. And I was saved as a young girl. I was 12, and it was on a retreat with my youth group. And just throughout my time as a young person, the youth group meant a lot to me, and I know it does here at Southside as well to a lot of your children, and it's a great opportunity to participate in those. Well, I didn't always live like I was saved, especially in my early 20s, but thankfully, God is faithful, and He did bring me back to Him, and I've done my best to live my life in connection with Him for the rest of that time. Of course, I am tempted, and I fail sometimes, as most do. But I feel like that I am where God wants me to be. I've been here at Southside for about 22 years and raised my son here. And he is a wonderful young man. And Jeff and I have been involved in a lot of ministries. We taught two-year-olds for years. Then we taught some youth. And we've been helping with Awana. And I am helping in the women's ministry as well. So I wanted to share a little bit with you about the Bible studies that we are doing in the for women and how that started. As you all know, 2020 was a tough year. I'm sure it was for all of you. With the quarantines and the limited time to meet in groups, it made connecting with our friends and having relationships, fellowship, it really made that difficult. But in September, Amy Thompson started a Facebook group with a lot of the ladies here today, and we had some that don't come to our church as well, and it was called Word Before the World. So the idea was to put Jesus and His Word first in our lives. And that was a great opportunity for us to connect and share with each other, even though we couldn't do that in person. We continued it October through December, and then we said we really want to meet people in person. We want to actually have some Bible study time together. So the virtual groups were great while they lasted, but we were thankful that in January we were able to offer our first women's Bible study. Several of the ladies in our church had felt called to disciple other ladies, and particularly to develop mentoring relationships, and that's really our end goal for that. We have lots of ladies in our church, lots of ladies here in different stages of life. There are likely some that are not saved. There are many Christians that are new, but young and old, and there's Christians that vary in their relationship with Jesus. Some come to church regularly, but don't really devote much time to Bible study during the rest of the week, where others demonstrate their love for Christ in their everyday life. We're all in different seasons of life. Some are full of joy, content, just kind of going with the flow, and some are facing trials like illness, aging parents, devastating loss of loved ones, divorce, job loss, depression, addiction. I'm sure you could add many more to that list. So our goal here, our group that has started these Bible studies, is to be sure that every lady has their salvation assured, that you have a close personal relationship with Jesus, to help you develop skills to study Scripture and apply it to your lives, to develop relationships with other ladies, to build a community that you can rely on when you need it, and to actively mentor or be mentored, or both, because no matter how long you've had a relationship with Jesus, you can always learn from someone else, and that someone can be 30 years younger than you. So I encourage you all to sign up if you're interested in being a mentor or a mentee. We have a sign-up sheet on the information table. We'd love to have you participate in that. And we all need a network of close friends that we can count on to be there for us. So in January, Amy Thompson, Trina Gray, Sean Little, and I started leading small groups as part of this Bible study plan. Each small group includes three generations of ladies. We can all learn from each other, as I noted, at any age. We continue to participate in the same small groups as we progress through the studies so that we can build stronger relationships and build trust and share life with each other. Now, that does not mean that if you didn't participate in the Bible studies we've already had, that you can't come now. We absolutely want as many people as possible to join us. And if we need to create more small groups, we will. We would love to. So don't feel that if you've missed the first ones, you can't join now. And each one is on its own a separate study. So if you can't commit to a long-term plan, you can just join one study at a time, and that would be perfectly fine. So the roadmap covers four primary categories of the what we like to focus on in these studies. The first is discipleship, to help believers grow in our faith, grow in maturity and wisdom, and build faith on a strong foundation so that we can then disciple others and lead them toward Christ. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for the mature who, through training, have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." So we all need to continue to grow in our maturity so that we can disciple others. The second category is life application. And just as it sounds, this is just to help you understand how to apply the Bible to your life. James 1:22 says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like." The third category is scripture study. And this is really just digging into God's word together. As one book at a time, or a topical area like the miracles of Jesus. Joshua 1:8 says, "Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do." And the final category is community and relationships. God desires for us to work together to minister to each other. We are more powerful and productive when we're together. We are to encourage each other and be there for each other. Jesus demonstrates the importance of community and relationships in the way he lived his life on earth. We should follow his example. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." So to recap what we've done so far this year in 2021 with our studies and where we have left to go. We started in January with a Bible study called Stuck by Jenny Allen. This one fit into the life application category. In April through May, we had The Power of Change by Jenny Allen, Matt Chandler, and Onika McClellan. This was also in the life application category. And we have a study starting August 4th, as Lucas mentioned. And at the same time, there's a men's study starting as well. So that's great. Everyone here can participate in something. The next study is What the Women Saw by Jenny Allen. I know we really like her. Sadie Robertson Huff, Bianca Orthoff, and Jade Edwards. This one falls into the discipleship category. Discovering Jesus through the eyes of women in the Bible, Mary, Martha, Mary Magdalene, and others, through their faith and their failures. It reminds us that Jesus cared for us and valued the women he was surrounded by. He equipped them, listened to them, walked with them, healed them, and empowered them. And he does the same for you and me today. Our final study this year will be October and November, and it will be called NICE by Sharon Hode Miller, and it will focus on community and relationships. So these Bible study groups are just one of the many ways that women can participate in Southside opportunities. We have a women's ministry team that is led by Lynn Robinson, my dear friend. And we focus on missions, local ministry needs, fellowship, and discipleship. There's usually food involved, too. So we have an opportunity to share life together, doing a lot of fun things. For the sake of time, I won't share everything that we do, but we would love to answer some questions for you about that if you're interested. I do want to tell you that there is an information meeting today, right after this service, here in the sanctuary, to talk about an upcoming trip to Pigeon Forge in October for the Women of Joy Conference. It's just an outstanding event that really re-engages us and helps us to focus on Jesus. So if you're interested, please stop by and ask for some information about that, and we'll be glad to share it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Next up is Richard Dean. Richard Dean and his family serve in different areas here at the church. And one of the main things that Richard Dean does is help run sound. And so he doesn't mind getting noticed when only he messes up, right? Is that what it is? So, but let's give him a hand. It's Richard Dean. Come on out here, my friend.
Good morning. This morning, the way that Lucas handed off the mic to me, because he asked me to come and share about Honduras and where we stand at Honduras, but also maybe want to share my testimony a little bit. I always like to say that I was in church 9 months before I was born. Early on, I'm not sure how old I was, but I was pretty young. I remember I told my dad that I wanted to walk down the aisle and get baptized, and he tried to teach me a little bit about surrender and that there's a difference between just walking down the aisle and getting baptized and going through some motions. And he told me that I could be baptized in the bathtub. Well, I knew there was a difference, but it didn't really click then. And I went through the motions and everything. But I did a lot of crazy, stupid things through high school years. And I got to early college, and a friend of mine asked, well, he was a church friend. I still went to church. He asked me if I would go to a Bible study, and I could tell by the look on his face whenever I said yes that he wasn't expecting me to say yes, but I had reached a bad place in my life. I felt like I was at rock bottom, and I went to that Bible study, and the evangelist was preaching out of Malachi where God says to Israel, if I'm your father, where's my honor? And if I'm your master, why don't you serve me? And so at that point, I nailed it down and made, you know, Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. That's still an area where I struggle. You know, you always kind of want to take it back and do it yourself, but surrender is a daily thing. So back to Honduras. As Jackie's already told you, she let the cat out of the bag. You know, 2020 was a tough year. We had all kinds of roadblocks that we were getting around. We went over roadblocks, went around roadblocks, but we got to a month before it was time to leave, and the government, United States government, changed the rules to getting back into the United States to you had to have a negative COVID test to get back in. And that kind of was a roadblock that we felt like we shouldn't try to get around. That was a lot of risk. It wasn't just me making the decision. I met with Amy Thompson, Philip Smith, who helped lead the group to Honduras, and Rob Pierce, who is one of the evangelists that goes, and none of us had a comfortable feeling, a peace, about going to Honduras. We just couldn't put the group at risk like that. But the good news is there's actually two groups that go out of South Carolina. One's out of Marion. They birthed our group, and they go the week before we go. Well, they didn't go last year either, but there's a doctor and his wife and his niece, the three of them were going to go and be on both teams. They were going to do 2 weeks. They were still able to go. Both of them had COVID already. He was a doctor, so they felt comfortable going. And I didn't say this in first service, but not only did they serve the 2 weeks, but the clothes that we gathered and sent over there were actually able to be distributed. So all that stuff that we gathered some stuff that was just to be used by the team, but the clothes to hand out, the toys to hand out, a lot of which y'all have given, that got used, that got sent out. And we're almost caught up with gathering clothes now for this year. That's something that we just will do year-round for every year that we go. But the way that it looked last year, normally there's big gatherings. A lot of people come to where we are. But this past year in 2021, there was a group that went out door-to-door, which was a much more intimate way to share the gospel and to minister. They're still doing that now, and a lot of the teams really, really like that idea. For one thing, again, it's on a much more personal level, and people that would not have been able to come are able to be ministered to. There was two people specifically that I can recall that there's no way they would have made it where they would have had to go to get seen otherwise. So this coming year, we're planning on leaving. I think it's February 19th through the 26th, and we have our first meeting today, as Lucas alluded to, 3 o'clock in the Student Center. It's going to be on Facebook Live, so if you're interested, but you want to kind of look from a distance at first, you can go on Facebook Live and kind of see what the meeting's about. This year, we're planning on doing like a hybrid, like we're going to have ministry teams going out and seeing people door-to-door. And then if they have need, like dental or medical or pharmacy, if they need clothes, eyeglasses, those kind of things, we'll send them with, like, appointments to go and get that need fulfilled. And, of course, we'll do children's ministry. So there's something for everybody. There's something that you can do if you have the interest to go.
Quick question that I think I asked you a question earlier, too, in the first service. What would you say to the person who's sitting in the crowd right now that is probably thinking, I can never do that. I could never go on a mission trip to Honduras. Like, I don't know if I could ever do that. What would you say to that person that maybe will frighten that something that's new like that?
I would say that whenever you just make the commitment to go, if God puts it on your heart to go, whenever you make that commitment, he will give you that strength. Like Joe Poston was saying, it's not through his strength, it's through Christ's strength. Like Paul was singing in the song earlier, it's Christ in you. And whenever you submit to him, then you'll have all the strength you'll need. It'll be a day-by-day, minute-by-minute thing. But the next thing you know, it's hard work on a mission trip. It's not easy work. But the blessing that's there is more than the blessing that you give. You asked me that earlier, too, about the blessing that you receive versus what you give to those people. That there is much a blessing to us, and the way that God uses us is much a more blessing to us than we are to them.
You've gone for about 5 years, I believe.
I've gone five different times. Not
five different times, yeah. Five different times. And last year, I think one of your daughters went with you?
Actually, all three of my daughters have been.
Okay, awesome. And I'm trying to remember. I know you'll cover this in the meeting, but since we're already here, and what's approximately, I know you'll go over the cost of what the mission trip costs, but around $1,500, give or take?
About that, yes, depending on your flight and how much your flight will be.
Yeah, so it's something that for a mission trip is very doable.
It is.
And so that you could be a part of. And so this is Mr. Richard Dean. Give him a hand. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it, my friend. We have two more people, and this one's a video, actually, because she couldn't be here. Juan and Trula Rosa, some of you know who they are. They are moving, after I think living here in Florence for 27 years, moving back to Tennessee from where she is from. And so that's where kind of what they're dealing with right now. And she couldn't be here, but she before she went to church camp with the teens last week, she said, "Preacher, I would love to be able to film that." And so we filmed her right up here, giving her testimony and sharing what Christ has done in her life and her family. And so, Miss Trula, her turn.
In Philippians 4, verse 19, the word says, And my God will supply everything, his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. As we prepare to move to Tennessee, I have taken some time to reflect on God's provision for our family here in Florence over the past 27 years. I would like to take this opportunity to share with you some of God's blessings for our needs. One, we needed a job. Juan, Brian, Katie, Victoria, and I moved from Bristol, Tennessee to Florence, South Carolina in 1995. God moved Juan from a job that obliged him to make decisions that conflicted with his ethical standards to a job in quality department here at Amana. That was an answer to prayer, because I witnessed the struggle within Juan during those days. It was painful leaving behind family and friends in Tennessee, but we stepped out. We needed a home. We prayed for a home that we could afford in a good neighborhood, and God answered our prayers. Our new house wasn't new, but it had the space we needed in a wonderful neighborhood. Graciously, God blessed us with God blessed our family with kind, generous neighbors. Our children made friends quickly. We needed a church family. When we left Bristol, we left a loving church family. We prayed that God would lead us to a church where we could learn and serve, and where our children could grow with other children from Christian families. Very shortly, we were invited to Southside Baptist Church by Joe Poston. We felt welcomed and at home during our first visit to the packed-out old sanctuary. The decision to join was sealed when we were visited that week by some special church members. All three of our children made decisions to follow Jesus while attending Southside. The girls were both baptized here, and Brian was baptized at New Spring Church. Growing up, our children were involved in children's ministry and grew in their faith and friendship. It was a joy to join in teaching Sunday school, vacation Bible school, chaperoning trips, leading mission trips, and serving in the youth department over the years. Even though many members are now serving in other churches, there are many new faces, we are all an eternal part of Southside Baptist Church. Honestly, after 27 years of doing life together, there are no words for what this family of believers has come to mean to us. We love you, Southside. We needed a school. We moved in the middle of the school year, and so the plan was for us to homeschool for that 1 year. And so we joined a Christian Home Educators Association, where we made connections with seasoned homeschool families who helped us learn how to homeschool. That 1 year became 10. The girls and I continued to homeschool while Brian tried out public school. But we were struggling with some issues and began to pray about a different option for Brian. God answered in a big way. He sent us to the King's Academy. The mission statement read as if it was taken straight from my heart. We knew this was the place for Brian, and eventually where Katie and Victoria would attend, and I went back to teach Spanish in the classroom. While at TKA, our children grew spiritually, academically, and made lifelong friends and one spouse. All three children graduated from the King's Academy, and I taught there for 11 years. Our family has an extraordinary bond with the King's Academy. What is most distinctive about TKA is the spiritual focus on Jesus through missions. And that is how God transformed my heart forever. To love and to serve others locally, nationally, and internationally is a top priority in our home, all because God sent us to TKA. We needed God's guidance for job changes. Juan and I both had job changes. He moved to GE, where he worked for the past 24 years, and I've been teaching in the public school system for 8. We both have developed deep professional relationships and friendships that we will treasure forever. Juan excelled in his career and became the quality manager for GE. His leadership skills guided the department here and abroad, and he's had numerous opportunities to travel while working for GE. He is currently enjoying contract work for GE during his retirement. My years teaching in the public school have been marked with some special memories of teaching wonderful students, leading educational trips abroad, and developing my teaching skills. I appreciate the opportunities through Florence School District 1 these past 8 years. God has blessed our work. We need a community. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." God does not mean for us to do life alone, but instead in community. We all need encouragement, especially in today's world. Together with our community, we have experienced many joys, accomplishments, trials, and heartbreaks. How joyful to see our children, their friends, our friends' children, and even my students grow into adults. We have enjoyed many victorious occasions and celebrations of birthdays, baptisms, graduations, showers, weddings, births, anniversaries, and other events. Throughout the years, many of us have had traumatic experiences to face together, such as uncertainty, terrorism, a pandemic, illnesses, breakups, accidents, mental illness, church split, loss of a special dear friend, loss of family members, and the absolutely excruciating loss of a child. What an incredible blessing not to go the journey alone. Not only has the Lord never left us, but He not only has the Lord never left us, but He has bound our hearts with your hearts to love and care for one another. What a picture of Paul's words in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. As our time in Florence comes to an end, I am reminded of the passage in Ephesians 4:4-6. There is one body and one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Even as we move a few hundred miles apart, we know that we remain one in Jesus for eternity. I want to extend my deepest gratitude to God the Father for His gracious provisions for our family, and to each and every one of you for sharing life with us.
She will definitely be missed, and led many mission trips to Puerto Rico and to New York City. And my daughter went 1 year, and just a wonderful, wonderful family. Well, last but not least, Brother Paul Ferrier, Pastor Paul Ferrier, and his wife Hannah are going to come up. And as they announced last week, they are looking at going overseas to spread the gospel of Jesus. So I wanted to ask them a couple different questions. That maybe, you know, some of y'all may have wondered or thought that I might give some clarity on how you can pray for them and what they're doing. And so kind of the first question we kind of went over this morning in the first service is kind of what kind of led you all to take this step? I know it's been something that has been on your heart for a long time. Yeah, I know when we interviewed you years ago, you were like, hey, eventually I feel like God wants me to be on the mission field and just waiting for God to kind of give me that green light one day. And so tell us a little bit about that and how, you know, and maybe your wife, you know, kind of going from Tennessee and then coming here and going, you know, where you're going to be headed.
Yeah, so we kind of separately came to the realization that God was calling us to this, that God was kind of leading us in this direction. We had both been thinking and praying hard about it, and honestly, it seemed like we had been kind of avoiding having the conversation with each other because of the implications for it. And then one day, I don't remember which one of us it was kind of started the conversation, but one of us was like, hey, I'm feeling this way, and the other was like, well, good, me too. And so we knew, hey, this is just one more confirmation that God is calling us in this direction. I meant to say this in the first service, and so whenever anybody came up and talked to me, you know, as we talk right now, we won't really go into many details from the stage, but we would love to have conversations one-on-one with you where we do know where we're going to be going to. It is not one of the most hostile towards Christianity places, but it's also it is technically considered a more of a closed sort of country. So we aren't publicizing where we're going. So that's going on. We would love to talk with you guys more one-on-one without it, about any of that. But similarly, you know, Hannah and I we've always loved the idea of living in certain places, you know, maybe in Western Europe or in Eastern Europe. And, you know, we had this opportunity that we're going to be proceeding with kind of presented to us. And we both were like, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to really go that direction. And then again, separately, we both kind of came to it that, you know, well, this is where God's calling us to. Why run away from it? Why push it out farther, make it harder than it needs to be? And then Hannah, I know that it was her this time. She's the one that spoke up first this time, and she goes, hey, you ready to just commit to this? It feels like there's no getting around that God is calling us to this. And I was like, yes, and I was scared to death to tell you, so I'm glad you started it. So that's kind of where how we got to where we are.
And, of course, you know, you went to, you know, Bible college and end up receiving, you know, your training that way for the mission field. They always give you some mission classes enough that if you do go to the mission field and that you're prepared, but your wife didn't. So maybe tell a little bit about Hannah, how you've been prepping. A call to preach is a call to prepare, whether you're preaching here in the States or you're going overseas. And so tell us a little bit about that, Hannah.
Yeah, so we are going through the IMB, and one of their requirements is that the spouse, that would be me, if not already educated with some Christian education, take courses. I'm currently taking some courses through the Biblical Women's Institute at Southeastern, where Paul got his degree from last May. And those courses have been a huge blessing to me. They help prepare me to share the gospel anywhere. First course I took was Old Testament and then New Testament. They mirror a lot of the classes that Paul took. It's been a huge blessing financially that they were, and Paul touched on this in the first service, only $50 per class. And that's something that is incredible for us women. And I didn't say this in the first service, but its intention is to prepare me for overseas mission work. But it helped prepare my heart for mission work here as well, and with my friends and my community and my work life as well. So that's something that I recommend to any woman looking for some extra biblical education.
Yeah. And you mentioned IMB, which stands for International Mission Board. It's something that, as Southern Baptists, we're a part of together as churches that we help support. Another missions program is a North American Mission Board, which is North America. And so the IMB, it's something that we as a church, we give to, and that we're glad to be a part of. You mentioned a team. Tell us a little bit about the importance of working with a team, being overseas, and why you're doing that.
Can you tell me decided who's going to answer what question? We're leaving you guys. We're leaving all of our friends. We're leaving our family, and that's hard. That's hard to do, to move within the United States, as we've already learned. It's especially hard to do moving internationally, and it's hard to do with two young kids. So initially, the team that we're going to be working with are going to help fill some of those needs. And it's also important, we're going somewhere to a different culture that we've not really ever engaged with before. And so the team that's already there and that has successful ministry there is going to come alongside us and show us how to engage with those people and how to do evangelism there outside of the United States where it's more difficult. We have a lot of freedoms here that are often taken for granted that we're realizing is not the case everywhere. So that team is going to come alongside us and show us how to do that and help us.
Hey, great. Paul, let you answer this question. We kind of hit on this in the first service. Though we may not be going overseas to spread the gospel and being on a team, what's the importance of what we do here as far as, let me rephrase my question. What really is a missionary? Is a missionary just something that's overseas?
Well, of course not. A missionary is not just overseas. I mentioned it in kind of my announcement portion of my sermon last week that one of the reasons why we felt so confident that now's the time is that, you know, we know that this community has you guys. We know that, yes, there are still lost people in Florence, lots of them. But we also know that you have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And I shared this in the first service. It's, I let my phone close, so now my Bible app's down. All right, Romans 10:14, and you know, kind of why we feel like we are to go to the nations, and we trust that you guys are still here at home, you know, holding down the gospel work here abroad and locally. It says in Romans 10:14, how will they call on him in whom they've not believed, and how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? We all have a mission to be on. And we, you know, our family realizes that our mission for us is to go. But so is yours. Maybe not going where we're going, but to go outside of these walls and to share the love of Christ. We have the best news that there is to share.
Absolutely. And oftentimes, sometimes we think when we hear the word missionary, we think, well, that's for someone else to do out there. But the reality is, as Christians, we all are called to share the gospel. We all are a missionary. Our assignments are just a little bit different. So whether one's assignment is in another country, or it's right here in Florence or another city, we all, as believers in Christ, are called to share the gospel in your workplace, in your home, your neighborhood. You are called to share the gospel. Our assignments are just all a little bit different because God has given us all influence and he wants you to do that. One last question, and then we'll pray and we'll wrap this up. What can we do as a church for you all as you are prepping? And if someone missed it last week, when's the Farriers leaving? Are they leaving next week? No, they're not leaving next week. Kind of the aim date right now is the beginning of 2022. So we got a little bit, okay? But how can we pray for you and for the future and kind of maybe answer that question?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've had it actually asked a couple different ways. We are going to be going through the IMB. And so the IMB is something that it is a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. So what happens is when you give your tithe here at Southside, a portion of that then goes to the local association, and then of their receipts, a portion of that goes to the SBC to then be spread among multiple agencies there for the work of the gospel. Yeah. Now, the SBC as a whole, just a little history lesson here for you. I know you weren't signed up for that this morning, but you're getting it anyway. The SBC as a whole was founded because a group of people decided, hey, it's going to be best for our people that we're sending to the nations if they're not having to come back home and raise support 6 months out of the year. And you see that with a lot of other missionaries that are going out into the field, is that they will be abroad and then they'll come back and they'll do like a speaking tour at churches to raise money.
Yeah.
Because we are going through the IMB, we don't have to do that. It's already accounted for in your giving that you do to Southside. And as well, if you want to make direct gifts to the IMB, I mean, you can do that. You can do that through, you know, the giving that we already have in place here with Southside. But that's how we will be supported, is through the IMB. So, you know, no, we don't need anybody to come alongside of us and say, hey, I'm going to send you a check for this much every year. While that would be wonderful, you can actually direct that to the IMB and they will spread that where it needs to go. We don't need that directly. But where we do need the most is through your prayers. In talking to the guys that are going to be our team leads, they are insistent that nothing gets done that gets done without prayer. Yeah. And so we covet your prayers. We desire, I don't need you to send me a check every week, but I need you to be praying for me every single day, because there's nothing that we will be doing that will get done without prayer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also to clarify with that is that we are an independent church. In other words, no one else tells us what to do. We self-govern ourselves. We choose to be a part of the Southern Baptist Convention because really the main reason is missions, because with many hands make for light work. And so we're able to come together to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's one of the beautiful things about what we're a part of with the SBC. And we have our faults, don't get me wrong, but you focus around the mission and the gospel and it being spread. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing in which we're a part of. Let's end this in prayer. Thank you for being here this morning. I want to challenge you with this. Pray for them. And maybe you came this morning and you weren't expecting, this because you're new, and that's fine. I hope and I pray that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I hope that you know that He loves your messed up life. It doesn't mean He approves of everything that's messed up in your life, but He loves you. And if you're here and you're looking for hope, Jesus is our hope. He really is. There's a lot in this life that if you watch the news just enough, you will come away watching what you watch or what you read, and you will feel hopeless. But because Christ is risen from the grave, we have hope in Him. And He will forgive us of our sins if you ask Him. He will. He'll change you. He'll make you new. You can't change you. We're not good at changing ourselves, but He is great at changing people. And He will change you just as He has changed millions and millions of others. And I offer you this, that if you've never received Christ, won't you receive Christ today? He is faithful. That's been the theme with these testimonies. God is faithful, and He will be faithful to you. He will be faithful to you. I'll be back preaching next week with a new series. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't preached like in 3 weeks. I'm ready to go, all right? But I always love these testimonies. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for Your love for us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know why, other than the fact that God is love and that He loves us. So, Father, I pray that if there's someone here watching that needs forgiveness, that needs grace, that they will run to the cross. Run to the cross right now. Run to the cross right where they're at. Say, God, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I'm asking You to be my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, God, I'm going to live for You. If you prayed and asked Christ, we want to hear from you. Message us, talk to us after this service. We'd love to pray with you and rejoice with you. God, I'm thankful for these men and women who gave their testimonies here this morning that made much of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded that we are nothing but beggars, showing and telling other beggars where to find bread. And they can find it here this morning. We love You. We praise You. And everyone said here this morning, amen. God bless you. We will see you next week.